myself in order here. There's a part of the order of service that sometimes we just kind of move right past real quick, but it's an important piece of the church's worship liturgy. It's called, we call it to now the prayer of the day. Back a ways, some of you may remember, back in the days of the other red book, that service book and hymnal, some of you are old enough to remember that book, like I am, and it was called the Collect, C-O-L-L-E-C-T, the Collect, the Collect of the Day. And what Collect means is it collects, that prayer collects and captures the message of the scripture lesson set for that particular day. And then it serves as a prayer to open us up to the hearing of the word that will follow the scripture lessons that we heard. So that's why it's where it is, right before the readings. Now, the prayer for the day is fine, but for many years, I had before the current hymnal came out, The prayer that I prayed on Pentecost as the collect of, or the prayer of the day for Pentecost was the prayer that is here under, it says sermon in the bulletin. It's this one right here. You might want to turn to that. That was the Pentecost prayer for me for years and years and years, long before. And then when the new hymnal came out, they changed some things around with the prayers of the day and so forth. And so it's not there in this form anymore. But I want to explore it with you. I think this prayer on Pentecost is a powerful prayer. It's a threefold description of the Spirit-driven life. And I want to explore it with you today. It's a splendid prayer for Pentecost, one that I have prayed over many years. And so I'd like to share my meditation with you about it today. But before we can do that, let's read it together. Read with me that prayer that's printed there under where it says sermon. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you sent upon the disciples the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, look upon your church and open our hearts to the power of the Spirit. Kindle in us the fire of your love and strengthen our lives for service in your kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I think it's a powerful prayer. I'll say more about it later, but what I'd like to do is spend some time looking at these three pieces of this that are highlighted that are in bold print in your bulletin. First, we pray on Pentecost. Open our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit. I like to be in control. Anybody else like that? I like to be in control of what's going on around me. Now, I'm not a total control freak, maybe. Depends on who you ask, I suppose. But, and some of you may know what that means, but control is important. It's what really is true is that most of the things we think we control, we really don't anyway. It's just an illusion we create in our own heads so that we feel comfortable. It probably isn't that we actually can control very much at all, to be honest with you. But the point is we like to think we're in control. Well, anyway, this story from Acts chapter 2 for the day of Pentecost is about a total loss of control. God takes over. Those folks are sitting there waiting for something to happen, and it gets out of control. All of a sudden, there's a sound of a wind swirling around. What's that about? A big noise. And then all of a sudden, tongues like a fire are dancing on people's heads. Again, what's that all about? Wind and fire. And then those who were there, the apostles, begin to speak in languages that they don't even know, so that other people can understand their messages. It's they've totally lost control of the situation, but God's in control, and God is opening them up to the Holy Spirit in a powerful and amazing way. Pentecost is all about that loss of control, because what God must first do with us is to open us up to the Spirit. If the Spirit is going to come upon us, we got to be open, opened up. You remember in Mark's gospel, very dramatic thing happens when Jesus is baptized. The heavens, it says, are ripped open. And the Spirit descends on Jesus at his baptism. God tears open the very fabric of the heavens, the very fabric of the world. The Spirit can come with power and rest in the form of a dove on Jesus and infuse him with the power for his ministry that is going to unfold. It's a powerful, dramatic image. And it's like that for us too. God has to somehow open us up. You know, it's like when my dog gets a hold of the remote control. I got to pry his mouth open somehow. Open him up and get that thing back before he chews it to pieces. And sometimes that takes some effort. And with God, sometimes it takes some effort to open us up too. We're kind of, our natural inclination, like my dog with the remote, is to resist. To resist being opened up. To resist giving up control. To resist even God's intrusion into our business. We want to keep control over what's going on. So when we pray that prayer, open our hearts. We're praying for God to take control. Open us up. Send your Spirit upon us. And how does that Spirit get into us? The Bible tells us how that happens. It happens through the Word. The Word of God is how that happens. Ephesians says, says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in the letter to the Hebrews, indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The idea is that what do swords do? They can cut you open. The idea is the Word cuts into us, opens us, so that God's Word can become a part of us, overcomes the resistance we often put in the way. And so when we pray this prayer, open me, let your power fill me. Open me, O Lord, to the wonder and beauty of the gospel word. Help me, Lord, to embody your word, to do that those things that I cannot or don't think I cannot do or will not do without you, without it. Overcome my resistance. And we pray that prayer knowing that we may not be able to control it. That's where the control slips away. We let God get into us. Who's in control? God. And the Holy Spirit is not predictable. Remember what Jesus tells Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John's gospel? The Spirit blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it goes. We see that happening in the gospel reading today, enacted. We can't predict it. We don't control it. We don't know where the Spirit may lead us to, but are we ready to submit to the Spirit's guidance and leading? Are we ready to let the Spirit take us where God wants the Spirit to take us? That's the risk of letting the Spirit in. The risk of letting God direct our lives, to push us even, to push us. When Jesus, right after he's baptized, I think it's in Mark's gospel too, it says the Holy Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. The image dropped to the Greek word for that means drove him like someone would drive cattle. You have the image of cracking the whip. A very almost violent image drives him out in the wilderness to confront Satan. Well, that's sometimes what the Spirit does to us. Are we willing to let God crack the whip on us Drive us, push us beyond our fears and our personal limitations and our objections and our abundant excuses for why we might not want to do something or go where God wants us to go or do what God has put before us. We're always good about the excuse part. That's what it means to open our lives to God and God's Spirit. We don't know where the Spirit will lead us, but we do know one thing, and that Jesus reassures us in today's gospel reading. We don't need to be afraid. Wherever the Spirit leads us, God is with us. Trust God. Do not be afraid. The second part of this prayer, kindle in us the fire of your love. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Do you hear that? What we pray for here, as I mentioned to the young people a moment ago, to the two boys, we're not just any kind of love, God's love specifically. That's what we're praying for. And God's love is different than the way we often choose to love. God's love is always directed toward the other. God's love is always going out. God's love is always directed toward the pain and the needs of the world. God's love will challenge us. You see, God loves this world deeply, profoundly, and everyone in it, including us. It is incredible to realize just how much God is in love with humanity. And not just us in this room. And not just us and not just people in the churches. All of them. Every human being. It is an ancient, turbulent love affair, if you will, profound in its depth. And the Bible documents it like that. Like a collection of letters which we continue to read and probe for meaning again and again and again to discern what that love looks like and to treasure it. God's love for this world, my friends, is undeniable, unequivocal. The problem comes from our side. Our love is often very one-sided. Very much about us. We are commanded to love our Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. The great commandment, we call it. We struggle. We often choose to love someone or something else instead, or more. That's the whole story of sin. But despite, hear this, despite our refusal to love the way God has commanded us, despite our unloving behavior toward God, but also especially toward others in our world, God's love for us still burns hot. God doesn't quit loving us. God's love for us never grows cold. Our love sometimes is like a smoldering twig. God's love is always a burning fire, passionate for this world and passionate for us. God is the world's great lover. God has always been so and will never quit being so. God seeks that deep, loving relationship with every human being God has created. His love expresses itself in many ways. But the chief characteristic, as I said a moment ago, is this love is always giving itself away. You'd think God's love would be exhausted if it's always giving itself away again and again and again. But the well never runs dry. The well never runs dry. That's called agape love in the Bible. And that love is the way God chooses to love the world. Giving itself away for us continually. It never stops. It never ends. Paul tells us in Corinthians, love never ends. And That's God's love. Our love sometimes will, but God's love never will. And in the course of loving us this way, love makes God suffer the pain of loving us. Deep love always brings the possibility of suffering, does it not? That's what we learn from the cross of Jesus, who, through the sins of others, through the weakness of human beings, through the rejection of his love and ministry, he gets crucified and suffers and dies. The world rejects God's love revealed in Jesus, but that love shown there is also the most important and profound sign of that same love. We pray in that prayer, burn hot. May your love in me burn hot, O God, for you and for the world that you love so much. And that's what Jesus commands us to do in today's gospel. Love one another. That's the heart of it. And so we ask ourselves now at this point, how does my love reflect God's love? It's a good question to meditate on. Am I loving others as God loves them, or as God loves me even? Has my love grown cold like a smoldering twig? And if so, we pray, kindle in us. Kindle in us again, O Lord. Kindle in us anew the fire of your love. Finally, we pray, strengthen us for service in your kingdom. Strengthen our lives for service in your kingdom, O God. God's service, to serve God, is not like any ordinary service we might choose for ourselves. It's not just like being nice or being kind or doing good things only. I mean, those are all important, but God in Christ shows us the example of what this service looks like, and Christ served us without limit, even giving his life for us on the cross. You and I, however, we're prone, when we're called to serve the Lord, to draw some boundary lines about we're not going to cross this line this far and no farther, to quote Gandalf. Anyway, we draw boundaries. We set limits on how far we'll go. If you want if you don't think you do, meditate on the passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, love your enemies. Meditate on that for a while. That's where we often draw a real hard line. Or forgive as you have been forgiven. Again, we often draw some hard lines there too, and who's deserving of our forgiveness? God doesn't. And so we pray, just like with God's love, God's Spirit will help us to serve as Christ served. Not put us over others, but put us at the world's feet. If you remember what Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. That's the model. That's the love of Christ we seek to have. Servant love, which puts others' needs before our own, as Paul says in Philippians. And so when we pray for strength, we are praying to be a disciple, being a disciple and a servant of the Lord, but we're going to need strength to do it, because being that servant of the Lord is going to demand things from us that while they may look easy, are not going to be easy for us. And it may demand things from us that look to the world around us like weakness, and we don't like looking weak, caring for the needy, the poor, the hungry, reaching out with compassion to those others may reject. But we always remember the words of the Apostle Paul. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And so we don't fear what that might bring. And ultimately, God may even ask us to put our lives on the line for the other. We don't know, again, where the Spirit will lead us. And so there it is, the three parts today that I invite you to. I invite you now this coming week to take your bulletin home. Don't throw it away this week. Hopefully you don't throw it away most of the time. But take it home with you. It's a good resource to have. Take it home with you. Pray this prayer every day, and maybe also reread the readings for the day. Make it a habit. Get into the habit. And maybe continue doing it. I've always taught people to use the prayer of the day as a part of their daily prayer every day for the rest of the week, because this is the prayer for the week, the Pentecost prayer today. And I invite you to use this one. If you want a fancy one to take home with you, where did I put it? There are some red cards at the back. There it is. Look like that. There are some red cards at the back with this prayer on it. Pentecost red. Maybe a little dull, but okay. Take that with you. And put it in a prominent place where you do your daily devotions, which I hope you do. And pray it every day. But to conclude today with you, I want to pray this prayer in a slightly more embellished fashion, pulling in some of the things I just said to you. So expanding it a little bit, and feel free to personalize that prayer in your own way as you pray it during the week too, if you like. So let me offer this final prayer to conclude our time to get our meditation today. Let us pray. God of love and power, give me your Holy Spirit. As the heavens were ripped open and the dove descended long ago in my Lord Jesus, rip me open if you have to through your word. Come into my heart and my life. Overcome my resistance and my fears. Put the power of the Spirit of Jesus into my heart and make it live there like it did in Jesus long ago. Lord, you know my love sometimes fails you. Sometimes it smolders like a wet twig. Instead, oh Lord, I need you to help me. Make your love, the love of Jesus in me, burn hot in my life once again. Set me ablaze with your love, with his love. May I passionately love your world as much as you do and be a bold witness to you like the apostles long ago, to your mercy and your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And as the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness to face the evil one, crack the whip, Lord, if you have to, on me. Drive me out into the world with courage, unafraid to face evil, and to do whatever work you require of me. Give me your strength to use the power of your love and the gifts of the Spirit that you have given me to follow Jesus' example of humble servant love without limit. Lord, and as I am able, may the honor, glory, and praise be yours now and always. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand for the hymn of the day, God of Tempest, God of Whirlwind.
God of Tempest, God of Whirlwind, as on Pentecost descend, drive us out from sheltered comfort, past these walls your people send. Sweep us into costly service, there with Christ to bear the cross, there with Christ to bear.